All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
I am Khalif Zafnapaniya L, and you are in the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Room. Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can. Yes.
All right, all right. I was messing around there just a little bit with the computer. I had my phone on mute. Apologies, I was talking and didn't know. I had muted myself out, on my own device. It's been an interesting day.
I've done that before.
But, I was attempting to sing a little bit there with the song, and you all missed this well-worn, threadbare voice of mine as I attempted to sing. Had a very busy day today and a busy day tomorrow and a busy day Saturday. But nonetheless, we are here. We've been talking for the last few weeks about these energies. I've been listening to my pastor. He's been teaching me practically all day for the last 3 or 4 days, drilling into my head the important principles and tenets of what we need to be focused on. As my elder and as my teacher, he wakes me up still early in the morning and gives me my script, and sometimes I'm hard-headed. I don't follow all that he says, and I go about it my own way. He has a tendency to make things simple. Now, I got a complex, we have something complex tonight, not because it's complicated, but it's complex because it's something that we do not, we are not accustomed to joining together, and that is science and religion. We were taught to separate the two, and that the two actually have no union or marriage. But actually, that's an error, Elijah. That's really what they're using on us, is a combination of this science that they have kept from us, and they've given us basically the religious part of it. So that is why it is complex, because we're not accustomed to looking at it together. And I'm going to try to put this in a very, very simplistic way tonight, the simplest way that I know how. Now, of course, we've been talking about the seven chakras or the seven seals that are going to be opened by the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Revelation chapter 5. In verse 1, it talks about someone sitting on the throne, and in his right hand there's this book that's written within. And this book is sealed on the backside with seven seals. I stick a pen in that backside because we'll cross that again. This will be a critical clue as we unveil this mystery. The Bible says we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So it's not that the truth is not there, but you just have to reveal the mystery. So this book that's in the right hand of him that sits on the throne is written within, and it's sealed on the backside with seven. Now watch this, seven seals. And those seven seals can be looked at in different places under different metaphors, if you will. With Samson, the source of his strength is seven locks of hair that are cut, and he loses his strength, of course, when those seven locks are cut. Those seven seals also can be interchanged with Joshua marching around the walls of Jericho 7 days, and then they shout on the seventh day, which is critical to understanding that the vibration makes the walls come down. It can be looked at with Noah taking seven people on the ark. It can be viewed again in another metaphor with or allegory with Jesus taking six pots of water and turning that water to wine when they pour the six pots into the seventh pot. And then in the seventh pot, the water becomes wine. Well, all of those are talking about, believe it or not, they're talking about the very same self thing. Even when you take the story in the Bible of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they are thrown into this furnace, and the furnace is heated seven times hotter than what it's supposed to be. All of those point you toward and to, and even the seven angels that are in Revelation. There are seven angels. And when the seventh angel sound, and we can talk about that a little bit if we have to let you know that this is dealing with cosmology and it's dealing with biology. It's dealing with the cosmological harmonic of the music of the spheres. Everything is a wave. Everything is sound. Everything is frequency. Frequency and energy. Everything is frequency and energy, including yourself. Now, we've talked about, including myself, we've spoken about, Aladja, we've talked about these seven seals. And these seals corresponding in the Sanskrit to chakras. And in Sanskrit, which is Indian, the wheels, they are wheels, spinning wheels. And in the book, in the Bible, there's no conflict between these wheels because in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1, it talks about wheels in the middle of the wheel. So these two books, Sanskrit, the book of the Hindu stance and the book that we call the Torah, the Bible, talk about the same thing, but they use different terms. And in the book of Ezekiel, in the Bible, these wheels that are in the middle of a wheel that we've heard talk about, we've heard these things talked about all of our lives if we've been in church. And but we were never told what they mean, so therefore this is complicated because we've been given a false interpretation, so to speak. But not necessarily false, because it's a good thing that we know these stories, but I want to shift you in somewhat of a paradigm shift in terms of the way you look at these stories from now on, because the way you have been taught about these stories, you need to shift your interpretation of them. I'm going to give you the true meaning of these stories and not give you the shadow, not give you the mystery, the allegory. I'm telling you actually what these stories meant. So when we get to the book of Revelation, all of these stories that we've heard about Samson, about Noah taking seven people into the ark, Samson's seven locks of hair, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego taking seven, heating the furnace, rather, seven times. All of these stories, Jesus taking six pots of water and pouring those six pots into one pot, and the water turns to wine. Now we get to Revelation and the book, that seal on the backside with seven seals. Another story that points to that in the Bible is Moses climbing the backside of a mountain. Now watch, this is very interesting. And we're going to get into what we're going to talk about tonight. And Lodger, I hope you're ready to talk about Dr. Atkins, because he had some very interesting things to say about what I'm going to talk about today. And I don't know him, and I hadn't listened to him, but he and I were saying some of the same things. I'm using the Bible. He's using science. And let's see if we can't marry the two tonight. If you're going to be ready for me when I call for you, are you going to be ready to read that document for me?
Yes, sir.
I think you have it posted on your website. How are you doing, by the way?
I'm doing fantastic, as usual.
All right, great. I'm doing okay, too. I'm not going to be long-winded tonight like I was last week. We went 2.5 hours, so I want the audience to get ready to participate in the Q&A, question and answer and comments. And while we're doing that, while I'm getting ready, just before I give you this other little illustration, I want to promote and tell you about the event that we have planned, August the 10th through the 21st, the 10th, 11th, and 12th in Greenville, Mississippi. And then the 14th, 15th, and 16th, and then the 19th, 20th, and 21st. Now, it's important as we talk about the Heart of the Lion activation. Why is it important? Because the sun moves into Leo. We just had a conjunction, a joining together of Jupiter and Venus on the 30th of June. And we're talking about these energies, and there's a beautiful YouTube video out with the sound that Jupiter makes and this vibration. And one of my great friends, who's an accomplished musician, a physicist, a carpenter, a contractor, a military man, I don't want to say too much about him. He may not want to say all of this that I'm saying, but very accomplished, and he's an accomplished musician. He's been working with me to get some tuning forks that can be tuned to the true frequencies to help us in our event there in Mississippi, in this event. Now, it's important because on June the 30th, when Jupiter and Venus align, right above them, or even if you go out tonight and look into the west and you see the evening star, the brightest star in the west, that is Venus. And off to the right of Venus, you'll see Jupiter. Just above Jupiter, or Venus and Jupiter both, is Regulus. You'll see a star that's Regulus just above them, just above the planet or the star, Venus and Jupiter. And they will be there in the west, so that these planets are now in Jupiter, in the west, the planisphere or hemisphere, if you will. In the mornings, they are in the eastern hemisphere. But because we are moving, in the evenings, they're in the west. So you can see them in the west. You can see Venus at the morning star, actually, just before the sun rises, in the eastern planisphere. You can see that bright orb because Venus is there. Now, excuse me. So this August, we are planning these events because of the energies that will come in Leo. Leo will start in July this month and run through August. And this is a very special year, people. you will hear tonight are the energies that are coming in. Dr. What is his name? First name, Atkins, I know is
Simon.
Dr. Simon Atkins.
Atkins.
We're going to read something from him tonight. And I'm going to talk to you about, in the book of Revelation, chapter 15, a little bit about what's happening. Now, let me just say something about Moses, as I was about to say a little earlier. Moses climbs the backside of the mountain. Now, notice the book is sealed with seven seals on the backside. I told you to stick a pin in that earlier. Moses climbs the backside of the mountain, and when he gets there, my pastor told me, the Most High said to him, take off your shoes. And he's there in front of this bush that's burning but not being consumed. It's on fire, but it's not being consumed. And the voice from the bush says to him, take off your shoes. The ground that you're standing on is holy ground. Now watch this. So he takes off his shoes because there's a positive force, an electrical force, coming from this fire. Fire has it's obviously energy. But he has to ground himself in order to be able to absorb this energy. So he's told to take off his shoes and place his feet on the ground. Now, you can take that literally. When you are standing in this energy, or in these energies, these positive energies that are coming in right now, and they're coming in fierce proportions, as you will hear a little later. In order to be able to absorb these energies, you're going to have to make a connection with Mother Earth and the magnetisms and the magnetic energies of Mother Earth. You need to pull the rubber and the leather and whatever else that is between you and Mother Earth off your feet and place your feet on the ground. You need to ground because these energies are powerful. We've not had any energies like this. So Moses is told, my pastor, as he taught me, and he took me through this. Now watch this. This is very important. He said, the voice told him what he was supposed to do, et cetera, et cetera. And he's a shepherd, so he has a rod, which is a limb or a branch. And he's resisting, as we all do, resisting this assignment or resisting this force or resisting this knowledge. And he tells him to throw that rod on the ground. And then you, those of you who have read the Bible know that he threw the rod on the ground, and it became a serpent. Well, you've seen Charleston Heston, and I forget the name of the producer, in the Ten Commandments, with the rod throwing it on the ground, it turns to a serpent. Well, that's an old story of a biological process inside of you. But not only is it biological, it's also cosmological, but let's talk about the biological aspect of it. Coiled at the base of your spine in the root chakra, in the sacral coccygeal, which are five bones, at the end of your tailbone, which is your rod, is this energy. You can't see it, it's invisible, but it's energy nonetheless. It powers you. Coiled there at the base of your spine are these energies. And it's like a serpent. That's why they call it a serpent, because it's coiled. These energies wrap around your spine and come back up the backside of your body, which is the book that's sealed on the backside. It passes through seven of these chakras until it reaches the burning bush, which is the pineal gland. That is the meaning of that story. No person named Moses. No. That's a nursery rhyme that they gave us in theology in seminary to give you. No person named Moses. Moses is in your body. The serpent, the rod, is in your body. burning bushes in your body. It's your pineal gland. Are you listening? Now, you need to know that these energies that are coming in now, it is so important to understand that we are in or at the threshold of what is called in the Bible the kingdom. The kingdom. The kingdom of heaven. And we're going to talk about that tonight. These energies that are coming in will change everything on this planet, one way or another. They will change. It's not going to be possible for the change not to happen. Then my pastor told me that the voice from the bush told Moses to place his hand inside of his bosom or inside of his vest or whatever he was wearing, what kind of apparel. And he did so, and he pulled it out, and his hand was leprous, white as snow. And then he took his hand, and he told him to place it back inside of his breast. This is all in the Bible. And he did this, and it came back to the normal color. So what we're looking at here is a wonderful biological process that's talking to us about some of the things. And we are here now in what is the Bible calls the kingdom of heaven. Now, in other places, other cultures, they call it the golden age and the golden people. And the golden people and the golden age will be the people who are able to absorb these energies with the earth, as you shall see in a moment, and hold proper balance and vibration and frequency with these cosmic energies as the earth absorbs these energies. Now, that's my introduction. Well, Ladia, I hope that was kind of clear.
Absolutely.
So we want to take a look at what Dr. Atkins has to say about these energies.
All right.
Would you mind reading what he says? And kind of go slowly, if you will, I can kind of break in if I have to.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Well, Dr. Simon Atkins did live here in the United States. I mean, yeah, he did. He's actually a British guy. He has a cute British accent. And when he saw the way things were going in the United States, he decided to get out of here, and he went to Uruguay. And he has a core group of people, and for lack of a better understanding of how they are acquiring all this information, he has inside contacts, of course, but they do remote viewing. Okay, which just happens to correlate with your message, which is biblical. So with that being said, this galactic wave that's coming in, he now has coined the phrase to call it frequency wave X, which is the frequency shift wave. And a gentleman by the name of Greg Prescott with N5D, I'm sure everyone's familiar with that if you're in the esoteric groups. So let's start to read. A massive wave of intergalactic energy called Wave X is heading our way, according to climate risk economist Dr. Simon Atkins. While Wave X could literally transform humanity with new metaphysical gifts in a very short period of time, it could also bring some negative aspects with it as well.
Now, hold on one second. Because we have some biblicists, and we have some theologians, and we have some Christians, and we have some Muslims, we have some Buddhists, we have people. Now hold on a second. For all of the Christians, does this pose a conflict for the Bible? No, absolutely not. Because in 2 Thessalonians, it says that the Lord shall destroy the wicked one, meaning the evil system that we're in, with the brightness of his coming. Brightness meaning energy. And again, listen to this. The energy that's coming in is also reported again in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52. in a moment of time, in the twinkling vibration, the vibration of an eye, single eye, of an eye, an eye, not eyes, an eye, we shall all be changed. And we will put on, and corruption will put on incorruption. Mortality shall put on immortality. So the molecular structure will be changed due to this energy, and all will be affected. So there is no conflict here. In two places that I can look at, I can locate more than that. And we'll look at one at the end of this reading here, where there is absolutely no conflict between science and what we call the Bible. Continue to read. Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Atkins also further goes on to state, humanity is going through a shedding process. He says we need to do this. We must never, ever, ever be shackled in any way. The whole planet could become a literal prison if this wave doesn't come through. Dr. Atkins calls Wave X a wave of evolution. What we're about to find out on a major level, unheard of in our history, at a mass scale, is the true answer of who are we, where do we come from, and what is our purpose. The planet is going to take off in such an incredible way. With Wave X coming, according to Dr. Atkins, it's going to bring people amazing metaphysical abilities. People are going to develop beautiful gifts. At first, they're going to be very scared of them. Some people will abuse them. But people are going to receive gifts such as levitation, instant healing, clairvoyancy, clairaudience, clairsentience, and the ability to see through dimensions, the ability to talk with spirits, the ability to bilocate. All of these gifts.
Wait a minute, because you're getting ready to scare some good Christian people. Hold on. Talking to spirits,
yes.
You're talking about clairvoyance, using all of those occultic terms.
Yeah.
Clairvoyance means clear seeing. Clairaudio just means clear hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Looking through dimensions, talking to spirits is not unusual for people that read their Bibles, because there is an incident recorded in the 17th chapter. I'm trying to soften this a little bit so it won't shock some people. 17th
mm-hmm.
chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus takes three guys up into a mountain, and two dead guys that have been gone for over 1,000 years, they appear, Moses and Elijah.
Yeah.
And these three guys see him. And one of those guys, as we said last week, is a guy that came back as John the Baptist.
Right.
And he was in this cycle of reincarnation. So I just wanted to soften that a little bit about these superhuman or these extra abilities that we're going to have. And again, at the risk of being redundant, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says that we will pull off terrestrial and put on celestial.
Mm.
Now, if a star is a celestial object, and does a star, would you say a star has electricity, has a charge and magnetism to it a lot? Would you say that the sun, which is the closest star to us, would you say that it's electric?
Totally.
You would agree with that. That's very simple, isn't it? Now, if you took your finger and stuck it into an electrical socket, let's just say a 110, what do you think would happen? You get an awakening, I would say.
Well,
what about a 220? What about a 220? Let's bump it up and say you really got courage and you took your two fingers and you said, well, I'm pulling the cover off. I'm sticking my finger over here. I want a charge. You think you get a charge if you suck?
Yeah.
Well, the sun is a million times, trillion times more powerful than that outlet. And the current is much more powerful. So now we're talking about some energies that are coming from some stars that are 100, 1,000 times the size of our sun. Mm-hmm. These energies that are coming now are coming from Orion, the giant. The giant. Orion mm-hmm. means the giant. And the constellation mm-hmm. of Orion, the giant, the coming one, the glorious one, is talked about in the book of Job. When it says, can you bind the influences of Pleiades? Can you loose the bands or the belt of Orion the giant? Well, our sun has pulled us into close proximity to Orion. In Egypt, it was Sirius or Osiris. It is our binary star. We're in a binary star system. So we are moving into the vicinity. We're moving into a new neighborhood, people. And this new neighborhood we're moving into has a sun that's 100 or so more times dense and larger than our suns. Maybe even 1,000. I'm not sure about that. I've checked. I shouldn't have put that out there without knowing the exact dimensions of it, but Orion is 100 times bigger than our sun, at least.
Right.
And we are going to get more energy. So for those people who think that we're just standing still mm-hmm. and things are not changing, you better look at these weather patterns. Now, she mentioned also that Dr. Atkins said, if we don't get this wave, let me address that. There are people who are trying to block this.
Uh-huh.
They're trying to block it by placing particles of lead in the ionosphere, which is just above our atmosphere, about 50 miles, 30 to 50 miles or so up, by placing those particles there to reflect and refract, deflect this energy away from us. And I do believe this is why they are going to kick up this CERN particle accelerator to try to throw these energies away from us so that they will not come in, so that we will not develop these superhuman abilities that she's talking about and that the Bible says that we will have. Because if we become like Christ, when he was changed and he was no longer subject to the hexahedron, which is the molecular level. Hello? Hello?
Someone's trying to get in.
I'm being very slow and very deliberate. Okay, keep reading. We're almost there.
Okay.
Well, I cut off what I said.
I'm sorry.
I cut off what I said. Someone interrupted me. I didn't know who they were.
Oh, okay. If I don't know who that is, it has to be someone with their mic open that is also has postcode. Anyway, Dr. Atkins believes that this Planet X, and I'm sure everybody on listening tonight has heard about Planet X. But he says that Planet X is actually not a planet, but an intergalactic wave that's going to bring about evolution for our humanity. We want this wave. Oh, we need to pray this wave here. And perhaps the ring of fire is this energy that Dr. Atkins is talking about. But he goes on to say that there's going to be societal disorder. And that's what Jade Helms all about. They're going to be able to...
Now, don't you think we need to really slow down there and not overload the people and take them one step at a time? Because when you say societal, civil unrest and civil disorder.
Mm-hmm.
What? Why? Let me try to explain just a little bit why these energies are going to have an adverse effect on some people.
Okay.
And the government knows this, and they are making preparations for military containment.
If they be.
All across the globe. Yes. Because these energies that are coming in, we can begin to see, even today, with the killing of four Marines in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Yep.
We can begin to see the sporadic and nonsensical killings and mayhem and madness, hate. These energies are literally, literally, people, going to drive some people crazy.
Yes.
Because of the angle that these energies are coming in. So it's very critical that we maintain a proper balance and know how to absorb these energies so that as it comes, it's sort of like, Elijah, a power surge coming to your house from the power company. And if you do not have enough circuits to direct that energy and channel that energy to the right circuits, what you get is a circuit overload. And you blow a fuse. So this is what is meant by the statement in the Bible when Jesus says in the 21st chapter of Luke that there shall be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. Now watch this energy. Think energy. And he says, now watch what he says next. He says, and there will be distress of nations with perplexity. So you think your government has read the Bible and married science and this book and now are taking military preparations for this energy that's coming from the sun, the moon, and the star because they know that it will cause distress of nations emotionally and then mentally. With perplexity. Perplexed means we can't, you know, rationalize a solution. So you're perplexed. So that's emotional duress and mental stress, or vice versa, whichever way you want to say it. So these energies will have an adverse effect upon people who are not prepared. That makes this planet a very dangerous place. That makes your neighborhood a very dangerous place.
Yes.
That makes your street a very dangerous place. Now, you can proceed.
Some places
we're almost there, and I'm almost done. Proceed.
So Dr. Atkins is also predicting physical disasters and revolutions. In the next 6 months, he predicts a record number of physical Earth shift events, but particularly into September and October. And he's forecasting a near or at a 9.0 major significant earthquake near or just outside of Iran before October.
This guy Atkins sounds like he's read the Bible. Because, you know, he really sounds like he's read the Bible. Because, and I'm getting ready to close this out because, I mean, it's just redundant for me because, you know, we've been sitting in churches, we've heard these scriptures read, you know, read over and over and over again.
And these disciples interpret it the way you do.
Listen to what I'm saying. In the 24th chapter of Matthew, his disciples come to him, and watch what he does to religion, watch what he does to the church. Watch what he does. They're walking out of Jerusalem, so to speak. They go to the Mount of Olives, which is a terrain of mountain peaks and so forth and et cetera. And they get to one particular mountain. And they look back at Jerusalem and look at all of that. And his disciples said to Jesus, they said, do you see the temple over there? And the temple was a magnificent monolith of architectural wonder because Peter is the one that's talking. He says, do you see the magnificence of this church house that we built here, this temple? And Jesus says to him, not one stone, not one will be left upon another. Now, I'm going to slow down right there, and I'm going to let that soak into the religionists who are trying to hold on to something that Jesus said they can't hold on to. And that is their religious structures.
Yep.
He said, look, let me tell you something about your religiosity and all of your claustrophobic religiosity. He said, I'm going to overturn every stone in your religious structure. There won't be a stone left on top of another.
Yeah.
I hope you got that. I hope the ones that call back in to listen to this recording really get this and it soaks in, because I'm trying to make it as clear as I can that the religious system that you're in is going to be completely overturned. And look, let me say this while I'm there. I want to get really colloquial here. Y'all, the house is on fire. They are burning churches. Can't y'all see?
I'm sorry, I shouldn't be laughing. But
No, it's not funny. But I want to be very colloquial. That, I mean, do you have eyes and can't see? Do you have ears? You can't hear the gunshots going off in churches right now?
Yeah.
You can't see the shifting in the moral compass of what used to be a moral standard?
Yeah.
I don't really want to deal with this. I really don't want to deal with the moral standards of our the foundation of our family and talk about the Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage. I really don't want to go there, but because that's not only in the Supreme Court. That has come over into the church.
Yes.
We have all across this country leadership in the Protestant denomination where there are same-sex leadership, a pastor and a first gentleman, not a first lady, but two of the same sex. Mm. And they're being celebrated on magazines. And I'm not speaking to whether it's right or wrong. That's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm just saying that it has changed, and church is never going to be what it was before. Because you have lesbians, and you have gays, you have
genders.
LGBT, bisexual. One pastor in Atlanta said that I am a gay bisexual man. Now, I don't know what that is. I really don't know what a gay bisexual man is. I don't know. It's a hyperconundrum to me in my mind. I don't know what that means, and I'm not condemning it one way or the other. But I just don't know what that is. My point is that church is not what you had a little while ago. Not one stone is being left upon another. The house is on fire. Now, so Jesus says to them, not one stone will be left upon another. Then he says something else. So his disciples said, now, if that's the case, if the church house is going to come down, he said, well, what's going to be the sign of your coming? And when will these things be? And so he proceeded to answer that question. And this is why I think Simon Atkins read the Bible, because of what she just said, and I'm here, and I'm finished. He said to them three things. He said, watch for three things. And I just guess Simon Atkins read this. Jesus and Simon Atkins are saying the same thing. Jesus said, there will be religious deceptions. He said, beware, take heed, that no man deceives you.
Yes.
For many false prophets will come.
There it is.
Now watch it. He says, in my name. And watch this. He says, and they will deceive many. So the mega, the many, the multitude is not a sign of not being deceived. But in our culture, the measuring rod and the yardstick for success is the bigger, the better.
Yeah.
Let me preach here. Can I preach just a little while? May I? Allow
you. Sure.
Can I throw in one line of preaching?
Sure.
Okay. If you give me permission, I'll preach just a little bit.
Okay.
Give me permission. Okay. Let me say this to the listening audience. All swelling is not healthy. Swelling could mean, and the multitude and the bigger something gets, could mean that there's an infection.
Yeah.
Okay? So he says, religious deceivers will come in my name and they're going to rape you of your money. They're going to give you a deceiving, deceptive, delusion and illusion, sell you a pipe dream and a fantasy in church. He says that's the first sign. Second sign, he says, not only religious deceptions, he says, now there's a second thing. He said, when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming? He says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars.
Yes.
Contention. Now you're talking about political disturbances, social, civil disobedience, wars and rumors of wars. Now watch this.
Mm-hmm.
He says nation against nation. That's
mm-hmm.
race baiting.
Mm-hmm.
Race baiting. What's going on now in America?
Just that.
Race baiting.
Yep.
Police officers are trying to race bait by killing black people in America.
Mm-hmm.
Race baiting.
Yep.
Race baiting.
Yep.
Burning black churches. Race baiting. To start a race war.
Provoke people to act in a certain way.
Nation against nation. Genotype against genotype.
Yep.
Then watch this. He says, in that political disturbance, they're going to try to divide you, not only along racial lines and nationality, but they're going to try to divide you along class lines, he says, and kingdom against kingdom. Now, that's your social strata, the haves and the have-nots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have the Oprah Winfrey's and you have the Khalif Zafnat Parnia. You have the haves and the have-nots. You have those that are in, you know, the social elite organizations, the boule.
Yeah, yeah.
You have those that are in the secret organization, Skull and Bone. And I told someone today, and I don't want to talk about it because I'll sound like I'm race baiting, so I'm going to skip past that. But, we've got to be honest about something. And I challenged a couple of pastors today who told me that they know that this is truthful, what we're speaking.
Yeah.
But they confessed to me today. I had a long conversation. They confessed to me. This is their confession. We know what you're saying is true. We can see it. But here's the problem. In order for us to come over to where you are, we have to admit that we were wrong, and our egos won't let us do it.
So they can't do that, right?
So we can't stand up and tell you that all the education we got, what we know, was a lie. Man, do you know how much money we spent on this education we have? We spent time in the classroom with extended hours to learn this illusion.
Then the wheat will be separated from the chaff, won't it?
We spent time trying to learn. We spent hours upon hours. We matriculated in this illusion. We matriculated and we graduated with honors in this deception. And to let it go now, we would damage our ego beyond repair. It's irreparably damaged.
That's what's
got to
happen. Ego has to go.
And so we can't. And then the second thing the pastor said to me today was, if we did do it, we could not. We don't know where we get our money from. How are we going to pay our bills? And I said to them, I said, well, you're really in between a rock and a hard place.
Yes, sir.
Because what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and miss this energy that's coming in and not be able to make the ascension with us? And you have sold your soul and the people, by the way.
Yeah.
And you sold families out for Mercedes Benz, some alligator shoes, and maybe a tailor-made suit or two. I would rather die than not to be dedicated to the truth. Now, the third thing that Jesus said, and I think Simon Atkins read that, he said, not only will it be nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom, class wars, the have and the have-nots, but he says another thing will happen. This is what Simon Atkins just said. He said there will be earthquakes in various places, meaning that there will be an increased number of earthquakes with more repetitive frequency and rapidity, that they will happen more regularly, and they will become stronger and stronger. Mm-hmm. And that is very the case. I don't have time to deal with that tonight. And then he says, and there will be famines and pestilence in more
happening.
And more places, more and more places.
Yeah.
Now, that's my lesson for tonight. I'm not going back to Simon Atkins. I promise to talk about, I don't know how much time I have. Wow, I got 8 minutes. God, where did the time go? I wanted to deal. So I'm just going to run through, in 2 minutes, I'm just going to run through, just to keep my word. I'm going to run through Revelations 15:2, because it's very important for you to see that. Revelations 15:2. Okay, listen to this carefully. All right. It says, excuse me. Oops, my page shifted. Oh, wow. Okay.
Uh-oh.
I'm trying to adjust my eyes. Okay, here we go. I need my glasses. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast. I don't have time to tell you what my pastor said about the beast. The beast is the system. And over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on a sea of glass, having the harps of God. Now, if you could listen to the sound that Jupiter is making, the notes, and my friend worked it out, played it on the piano, and I'm trying to get him to put it on a recording so we could hear the sound that Jupiter is making. If God had to play a harp, he said the harps of God, and the people that overcame the system, the beast, the people that overcame his mark, his number, his image, his name, were people that had the harp of God. What is the harp? I mean, I've seen Eddie Kendricks play his guitar. Rest his soul in peace. May he be blessed. B.B. King played a guitar named Lucille. Louis Armstrong played a trumpet, a mean trumpet. Miles Davis played a mean trumpet. But now listen, if God has a harp or a trumpet, Paul, by the way, says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. What does a trump of God and a harp of God have to do with people getting the victory over the system? Again, don't look at it religiously. It's the sound Jupiter is making with Venus, with Uranus. It's God's harp. They're the Most High, and I hate using the word God because I know where that came from. But I want to say the Most High, if he's playing an instrument, a trumpet or a harp, and he's so big that the universe is so big, what would that instrument look like, and what would it be? It would be the cosmos, people, and it would be the music of the spheres of the planets as the cosmos makes this harmonic. And this sound makes a wave. The wave makes a frequency. The frequency then changes us up on this earth. That energy is coming in. That's what we're talking about. I've run out of time. I've run out of time.
Thank you to those of you
who are in BBS radio audience. If you want to come over and continue this discussion with us, I have run out of time. I just have so much I could tell you.
Can you get your promo out for our event in August one more time before we break away from BBS?
Okay, one more time, August the 10th through the 21st. The 10th, 11th, and 12th is one event. Then the 14th, 15th, and 16th is another event. And then the 19th, 20th, and 21st of August, when the sun moves into Leo, Revelation 5:5 says, Leo, the lion of the tribe of Judah, opens the seven. Hold on. The lion of the tribe of Judah opens the seven seals when the sun moves into Leo this July. And we get into the heart of Leo. We're going to have an event in Greenville, Mississippi, to help you to bring balance and to hold balance as the Earth's frequencies and the cosmic frequencies begin to raise. We're going to help you to hold frequency and balance with it so that you can be like the people that we just read about who stand on, now watch this, a sea of glass, which means the Earth is turning into a diamond crystal star. These energies will change the Earth.